Susan Sarandon, Lena Headey, Carrie Fisher, John Slattery, Michael Madsen, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Brad Dourif star in this game. Do you know what it is? It's Dishonored. This week on It's So Bad, we're adding Dishonored to our endless list of games here on It's So Bad. Welcome, Steve, Matt, Encore.
What's up, Mike?
We're back.
We just did an episode last week. It was Age of Empires 2, one of the top 10 games of all time currently on our endless list.
Number 7.
And what is our endless list? It is a list of games. The best games? Maybe the not so best games. The games. It's a list of all the games ranked in order of their badness. Whether or not it's good, bad, or if it's bad, bad. Encore, would you like to add anything to our ranking and how we derive our endless list?
Yeah, I mean, going back, listening to a lot of the episodes, I think a lot of it comes from just everyone's personal opinion. But at the same time, if we're getting into the science of it, I think we'd like to take a look at its legacy, whether things hold up to this day, just its impact on the industry, how fun the game was. And I know you love your completeness of vision, Mike.
Yes, my completeness of vision.
Which is probably the number one factor, I would say.
Well, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Podbean, etc., wherever you find your podcast. Also, you can check us out on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod as well. And you can email us, itssobadpod@gmail.com as well. But what is Dishonored? Someone describe Dishonored. Anybody?
Dishonored is a stealth game, if you want it to be. It is a balls-to-the-wall action bloodbath, if you want it to be, and it could be somewhere in between. But it's a game where you are an assassin, essentially.
Yeah, you're an assassin.
Set in this fictional city of Dunwall, and you are the protector to the Empress, who is murdered, so you didn't protect her all that well.
Yeah, you sucked at protecting her.
Yeah, you kind of got blindsided by that. As soon as you get home, she gets murdered. And then you spend the rest of the game trying to avenge her, bring justice to her conspirators and the government, and rescue her daughter, who may also be your daughter.
Pretty much
kind of clear your name too, right?
And clear your name, yeah. You're Corvo Atano, the protector of the Empress Emily Caldwin.
Emily.
Jessamy Caldwin. Emily's the daughter.
What's the term for? Isn't there a term for?
His job.
Yeah, his
job. He's the royal protector.
I thought there was more, you know, a more mystical name than that.
The Empress is Jessamine Caldwell.
That's what it is.
Caldwin.
Yes.
So this is Dishonored. It is available for you to play on the PS3, PS4, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and the PC. I would say it's a stealth action adventure game bordering on an immersive sim. That's how I would describe it.
That's about right.
First person.
Yeah, first person perspective. Yeah. I played through this game twice. I played through this a couple of years ago, and I just played through it again for this podcast. And I didn't realize playing through it, people had described this as an immersive sim. And playing through it the first time, I think I kind of cruised through it, and I didn't take time. But this time, I actually was reading the lore. There's a lot of lore. A lot of lore in this game.
I think the lore is
just tucked away.
It's like well-developed as well.
Yeah. It's a full, complete world that they've made. I would say it's kind of... There's some aspects to it that kind of leave it open for future, if they want to do it. Because it's like you have an island and there's other islands, but what is happening in the rest of the world?
World building.
Yeah.
I love a game. I have a soft spot for any game that does audio logs well.
This
game did audio logs very well.
Yeah.
And it's got the whale oil punk aesthetic. It's not steampunk because they run on whale oil there, but it's got that kind of steampunk aesthetic to the whole thing.
The whole whale thing is kind of weird. We'll get into it a little bit later, but there's a lot of whale stuff in this.
They love whaling there. It's very Victorian, you know? That's their natural resource.
So this game, if you like this game, or if you like games like Prey from 2017, or Bioshock, or Deus Ex, this kind of fits into that mold.
Yeah.
But why are we adding this game? I think, Steve, this might have been your pick.
This was another one of my picks. This is one of my favorite games. I love first-person games. I like stealth games. I love immersive games, so this really checks a lot of boxes for me. This came out in 2012, and I was just instantly hooked on the idea of it. I love the aesthetic. And so I played it, and I'm to this day amazed that it doesn't have a higher profile than it does, because I think it is just such a great game, and it is just like this under-the-radar great game. And it gives you the option of, you know, a lot of games at the time, like Mass Effect, kind of let you play different ways and make different decisions. And this has that in its DNA, too, where you can stealth the whole thing, not kill anybody, and end at one particular outcome. Or you can murder everybody, watch the city kind of go into flames and to ruin, and you deal with different consequences based on that.
Yeah, so how it's designed is it gives you multiple paths for how you defeat or get to objectives, and you can either kill and assassinate people, or you can do away with them in one way or another for all of the targets.
Without lethality.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, for the money, yeah.
It's
not your lethality, right, at least.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a good ending for them, yes, regardless.
Right.
So developed by Arkane Studios, published by Bethesda Softworks, again, released in 2012. Same year as Alan Wake, Mass Effect 3, Diablo 3, Borderlands 2, Resident Evil 6, XCOM Enemy Unknown, Hotline Miami. A lot of good games came out that year.
Just named a lot of my favorite games.
Yeah, seriously.
Halo 4 came out that year. I know you're a big Steve.
Love Halo.
Loves Halo.
One day we'll talk about that.
Far Cry 3.
I loved Far Cry 3. Oh my God, guys. 2012, I was going nuts.
So Arkane is a French developer. They developed Call of Duty World at War, Bioshock 2. They would go on after this game to develop Dishonored 2, Prey, Wolfenstein Youngblood, and the forthcoming Deathloop, which looks...
Oh, right. I forgot about
pretty
that game.
Okay.
That's the one-on-one game?
I don't know if it's one-on-one. They haven't really described it.
That's what the trailer was, yeah. Like, right.
But they've described it as Dishonored meets Hitman.
Mm. It's funny you say that, because as I played Dishonored, I got a lot of Hitman... similar vibes
there's
to
like,
playing Hitman.
There's like loops that people go around to do it. The visual designer of this game, Viktor Antonov, he previously worked on Half-Life 2.
Yeah,
and he designed City 17.
That's
which,
like the most obvious
comparison
that can be made.
Very City 17.
Half-Life 2-ass looking game.
Yeah. And the Harvey Smith, who was one of the designers, previously worked on Deus Ex. He led the development on Dishonored. A lot of different DNA from other games that are very similar to this game would feed into this game.
And it shows.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Also, like as I mentioned in the intro, for some reason it feels wicked random that all of these different actors were cast in these voice roles.
I had no idea about any of that until way after the fact.
Yeah, Granny Rags, who is this like really side character who only appears in side missions, is Susan Sarandon.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and like Callista, who is the protector of Emily Caldwin, the little girl.
Yeah.
She is Lena Headley.
I didn't know that.
Cersei.
Cersei.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, Susan Sarandon was popular, but I'm trying to think of what these other actors and actresses you mentioned were doing in 2012.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Like Carrie Fisher, she did announcements too.
They're picking up an easy check. That's what they're doing in 2012.
I mean,
yeah, I guess so, right?
John Slattery was in Mad Men in 2012, and he was Admiral Havelock, the guy who gives you all the missions.
Which guy is he in Mad Men?
He's
the guy with the white
Tony
hair.
Stark's dad.
Oh, the white haired guy.
Tony Stark's dad is also him.
Tony Stark's dad. I don't know.
Howard Stark.
Howard Stark.
The character's dad.
I don't know. What is that, an Iron Man 5?
Iron Man 2,
He's an Endgame.
He's an Endgame.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw Iron Man.
He's one of the
Captain
America.
That's not really up on the MCU.
No. I saw Iron Man.
Yeah, he's not in that.
Yeah, because Preacher was the original Howard Stark. I forget what that guy's name is, but
Dominic Cooper,
something like that.
Yeah. When he was a young guy in Captain America, the First Avenger. Yeah.
Michael Madsen, who is in a whole bunch of.
He's going to be in the upcoming 2019's Game of the Year.
No, that's Mad Mikkelsen.
Oh no.
Who's Michael Madsen's in Reservoir Dogs.
He's the guy that dances around.
He's in Quentin every Quentin Tarantino movie.
Kill Bill. Oh man,
he's Bud.
He's Dodd in
Mads Mikkelsen's getting plenty of work. Don't worry.
But Chloe Grace Moretz, she is Emily Caldwin, and she is in Kick-Ass. She's the little girl superhero.
Mm-hmm. I like
so
that.
So she's also in this game.
Hit Girl.
She's so in, many people are in this game.
Yeah,
she's
no
in,
idea when I played this.
Zombieland too, right? Isn't she?
Yes. No. She's not. Yes.
I thought
different.
She was
that's
the
a
young
different
sister.
Young star. No.
See, I clearly don't have my movie knowledge.
That, yeah. That girl was in Little Miss Sunshine.
That's yes.
The oh, okay.
What is that girl's name?
I forget.
Whatever.
But then finally,
she's doing great work. We love her.
So the voice of Piero Joplin, who is the inventor dude, he's Brad Dourif. He is the voice of Chucky.
Ooh.
He's also Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Oh, what?
And he was Wormtongue. For any Star Trek fan out there, I don't think we have any in this room.
Oh, but I love Star Trek.
I like the one with the whales.
How dare you?
Did you watch Voyager?
On and off. Why is he?
So there's a
as a young man.
There's like a 5-episode arc with. This guy, mm-hmm. He plays a serial killer on Voyager.
Mm. I'm not, like, I don't remember that, but
that
I did watch
like
one,
I thought you were a fan.
One of my favorite
I'm a casual fan.
Casual.
Guilty.
One of my favorite Star Trek arcs is that one. But yeah, so there's a lot of people in this game, which is wicked random. So this game had very high expectations. I think one of the reasons why it kind of underperformed, I don't think it was reviewed very well. For some reason.
No, it got good reviews when it came out, but not...
It was like, I think it was like stellar. 8, 7, 8
yeah.
sort of
yeah, it
typical,
wasn't like... they were aiming for out of the ballpark, and I don't think they got out of the ballpark with this. Mm-hmm. So, I really liked it. As we said, there's a lot of lore. So you're Corvo Otano. You are not from Dunwall. You're from Cyrkonos.
Right.
So you're from Greece, essentially, for Cyrkonos. Some reason.
Yeah. Which is where you go in the second game.
Right, and isn't there something
I
about...
The second one yet.
I it's been a little while since I played, but isn't there something about people from that island there? I mean, there's some racism that's
alluded
to, but like...
Yes, they treat him as a foreigner.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you are... it's kind of like secret. It's a secret in the game, and you don't really get it unless you really read through some of the stuff, but it's implied heavily that he is the father of the Empress.
The Empress. But I thought there was something, too, where they like pulled the... Protectors always from that island,
yes.
Or something like that.
No, he's the first one from that island. Yeah, okay. I believe so.
Right. Yeah, I think he's in the beginning. You're returning from there because there's a plague that's going on down there that he's sent to investigate.
Hmm.
And then as he returns, the plague is starting to spread into Dunwall now, which is the capital.
Right.
I think that's what it is.
And because you eventually find out that what's his one? I forget his name, but one of the bad guys like started the plague.
Yeah, he's bringing the plague.
So you have to wonder if he started the plague down there to get Corvo to leave.
Right, and the plague is a huge part of the game because you have these rats that like devour corpses, and eventually you get magic powers and you can kind of control the plague. Or
right,
yeah, the guy who is behind the whole plot, his name is Hiram Burrows. He's the royal spy master. He hires Dowd, who's an assassin with all these powers that goes and kills the Empress, and he frames you for the killing, so you have to go escape, and you're saved by loyalists who are Lord Pendleton and Admiral Havelock, who help you escape the prison. And I have to just say, at the very start of this game, you are the royal protector for an Empress who is imprisoned by a royal spy master, and I'm like, who are the fucking good guys in this game?
Right.
Why is there an emperor, and why am I saving this whole person, and what is going on in this
world?
You
kind of have to blindly just say, all right,
I'll
buy in.
Sure, and there's like, they also, as you play this game, you learn there's these people called overseers who wear these gold masks, who are kids that are taken away from their families, who are brainwashed into becoming soldiers, and you're like, I'm supposed to restore the Empress
and
to this throne?
And they are, like, these soldiers of the religious, like, order, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Like, they are the ones, because they are all about fighting off dark magic, and, like, they have all these, like, contraptions that are supposed to protect them from magic.
Yeah, and there's, like, stuff from the very beginning. I'm like, this Lord Pendleton guy who's always drinking, and then you have Admiral Havelock, who is not looking out for you whatsoever.
Well, your base is a pub.
Yeah, right. And you're like, and that's, like, fine. Like, all the people who are around, the people who are giving you orders are fine. Like, the people sweeping, and the Piero Joplin's fine. He seems like a... normal dude until some points where you're like, okay, this is kind of weird.
He's like, a little Doc Brown.
I was gonna say, I don't know if he would have not done well in like a Me Too sort of situation. I think some of the lore like refers to
because he's
being
peeping
a
on that girl in the bathtub,
like a little rapey,
and you have to be like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But
I ended up turning him in for that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Good. I was like, You pervert.
Perv. Get out of here with that. What are you inventing all this stuff for me for? Yeah. You're spying on this girl? What do you got in that room? Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of stuff where at the very outset I'm like, I'm not working for good people, and nobody in this world seems good.
No one's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the Empress gets a little shady at points. If you go the bad route, you start seeing her drawing like pictures of people dying and like hanging people.
Yeah, I noticed
that. So if you kill a lot of... So there's two different paths. So you can not kill a lot of people, and you can stun them and knock them out and accomplish things, or you can kill a lot of people, and then what happens is there's chaos.
Low and high chaos.
So there's things that happen in the world. So if it's high chaos and you kill a lot of people, there's more people. There's more bad guys out in the world, and if there's...
And rats.
The plague is worse.
Yeah. The plague is worse, but if you go low chaos, there's less people, and there's less rats, and the plague is lessy. So the second time, the first time I played it, I did high chaos and just killed everybody. And then the second time I played it, I was like, I want to go low chaos. And I had this expectation that the game would be a lot harder to play. It was not. It was actually a lot easier to play when you go through and you don't kill people.
Yeah, because you're incentivized. Like, the levels are easier. You just have to kind of sneak your way through. And...
Right. And even, but you can even, they have a stun bolt on your...
Sleep bolts.
So on your...
Crossbow
that you have as a weapon. You have a knife crossbow, and you have these like force powers.
Yeah, because that's a big part of the story that we didn't get to is that you're tapped by this mystical entity called the Outsider, who seems bad, and he kind of
does. He seem bad?
He seems pretty bad.
He seems bad because he looks.
Yeah. He's kind of
spooky.
Yeah, he's
He seems aloof.
He's like a really omnipresent hipster who shows up and gives you all these powers.
Yeah. He just wants to see what happens.
Yeah, and he kind of just disinterested. He's like, I'm bored in eternity right now. I see some things are mixing up in Dunwall.
So you pick up what are they, the bone charms or whatever?
The runes.
The runes. Yeah. So when you pick some of those up, you trigger cutscenes with him.
Some of them.
I think
only if you pick them up at a shrine.
At a shrine, right.
Yeah.
And so one of the initial ones is when you've met Granny, whatever her name is.
Granny Rags.
But even he is like, she's not a good person. You know, he kind of judges her. So I wonder, what his position
is. Everybody in this game is not a good person.
Right, exactly.
Literally everybody in this game is not a good person. He judges everybody. But, I don't think he's bad. I think he's very neutral.
Yeah, he's neutral. But
why would he bother all in black mortals?
He's just, kind of pro-chaos, but, he's got a weird sense of justice.
I don't know. If you go down the non-chaos route, he doesn't say... He's not like you have to kill everybody.
He's not anti-you. Yeah.
But he gives you the ability to do it.
Right.
So
he gives you abilities. One of the, prime abilities that was very highlighted in the run-up to this game was teleport.
Blink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you can blink from one area to another.
And it makes the game arguably a little too easy, I think.
Sometimes. If you get, the level 2 blink,
if you rank it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can rank up abilities too, and the abilities rank up with blink, you can blink longer distances.
Right.
I think that some of the abilities make the game very easy. So there's one ability where you can see people through walls, which makes it easier.
You can possess rats and crawl through, sewer ducts.
And if you
can summon the swarms of rats, that was my favorite.
And if you
can
die,
possess people too.
If you die as a rat, you die. So if you get stomped on, you die.
Just like real life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Duh. Yes.
I don't know. I think the high versus low chaos, I played through it recently with the low chaos, and I think, the power, because you have this, list of powers that you can get, and so many of them are violent or kill people, you're kind of pushed into just getting a few of these powers.
Right.
Doing the low chaos, which means like the wall hack, the blink, shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it gets to a point where it makes the game too easy, like you were alluding to, Mike. You know where the guys are, so the stealth becomes less of a big deal. You can teleport over them. And also, it's like a little boring because you're not getting to experience the more fun...
Murder
abilities. I think it's hard to make the pacifism runs as fun as...
So I always default to the pacifist stealth.
I enjoyed the pacifist and I really
like
better.
That. And I disagree that, yes, you could read it as it makes it easier, but you become more powerful and it gives you kind of... It's like a toolbox that it gives you more creative ways to play in the level.
Easy is probably not the right word. It's just a more simple approach, I think, at times. Like, I think it's just less happens.
And but so then you have to, like, you know, if you choke out a guard, you have to hide the body someplace, yeah. And you have to be very meticulous.
Yeah, I thought it just was a little too straightforward.
You can also get the ability that if you assassinate the guard, they just disintegrate.
But you're right, assassinating. But you don't want to kill them.
That's, oh, yeah. I guess, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think and eventually, you know, you play, like, the stealth pacifist way. You play the, like, I'm a baller, like, you know, spinning tornado of death, and I'm going to come through. My favorite way to play is kind of like the would I kill this person kind of judgment if I'm stealthing it, where it's like, eh, he seems bad, I'll kill this one, but this person seems good and yeah. I won't kill this one, and it gives you a nice mix.
There was really only a few, because I like tried to do even all the targets, tried to make them all pacified,
yeah,
and there was really only one time where I was like, this is really difficult, and I had to keep like reloading it and like saving right before it, mm-hmm. And it was that scene where there is a at the pub, this girl comes up to you and it's like, my uncle is this dude, yeah. And he's an admiral or whatever.
It's like the first, like, or the first second level.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to, you can stand above this meeting that happens. And if you wait, there's two guys, and one guy is the uncle and one guy's a bad guy. And if you wait, the bad guy kills the uncle. But if you go too early, they both will try to kill you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you, so you have to like go at the right time, stun this knock, because I didn't want to kill him because I wanted to go complete pacifist, so I knocked out the bad guy, and then the good guy starts killing me because he sees me knock him out, because there's no way, so you have to like blink and run around and try to get away from it.
So there's one thing you can do though also where he's poison, he tries to poison the uncle, and you can switch the poisons, and so then he dies and then the guy flees, and you can go meet him elsewhere and be like, hey, I was sent to rescue you.
See, I did not do that.
Yeah, I did it even differently. I believe I just shot them both with a sleep dart at that point.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Okay.
And I wasn't even, I just walked, I like took out the guard that had the key, walked in, hid in the corner.
I think my problem was too, I was not waiting for the door to close, so there's like guards outside the door.
Yeah, waited for them to start talking.
Make sure the door's closed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
Because then you have to get his body out.
It's interesting, yeah.
If you knock him unconscious, you have to bring his body to a safe space.
That's right, I did that too, yeah. So it's interesting, the there's so many different ways you can complete levels. All the levels are very linear. There's like one area you just go straight through, and then you find... I mean, there are big sprawling complexes, but there's one target for you to go.
And there's different ways into a building, obviously. Right. But,
different ways in the building, different ways for you to kill the bad guy or not kill him. Some of the worst ways for these people to go is really the non-killing way. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there's the ball... where you are, you have to secret your way into the ball, and then you have to find the right...
it's like a masquerade mistress. Ball.
Yeah, the right mistress, Harris or whatever.
Oh, right. Miss Scarlet or whatever.
And if you if you find the right one, her name is, it's like the Boyles, the daughters of the Boyles. If you find the right one, you can talk her into having sex with you in the basement.
Oh, really?
I did not.
I've never encountered that.
I failed to talk her into anything.
Yeah, so... I did. I talked to her into having sex with me in the basement. And then you find out that there is a spurned lover who you talked to earlier in that, who will meet you downstairs in a boat. There's like a dock underneath the thing, and you knock her out, and he takes her away and is like, don't worry, we'll be together forever.
Oh, yeah. There's the other two, like, twin brothers, too, who operate, like, a salt mine or something.
Right.
And you can make a deal with the organized crime boss in the area to...
Slackjaw,
yeah. And he will, if you knock them out, he'll collect them from you, and then he sends them off to the salt mines. And you're like, well, wow, but what if they, like, reveal who they are? And he's like, oh, well, I cut their tongues out.
Yeah. It's fucked.
Are they the ones in the brothel?
Yeah, they're
in the brothel. Oh, I killed them. I just...
No, I didn't kill any of them. I didn't kill any of them. So
I killed everyone.
Yeah.
It is nice.
No,
that
there's no good actors in this game. No.
It is nice that you could keep low chaos and kill a few people.
Yes.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah, they let you kill, I think, 50% of the people on the level before it gets to high chaos. High? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can kill a lot of people.
I like let some of them go.
So we already...
I didn't get everyone.
Yeah, apparently.
So we've already done, we've already talked a lot about a lot of spoilers, but really heavy spoilers going forward. What did you guys do with Slackjaw or Granny Rags at the end?
I put Slackjaw in the bowl.
In the stew? You made Slackjaw stew? Yeah.
I think
Granny was very happy with me.
I think I begrudgingly sided with Slackjaw and put an end to Granny Rags.
You bastard.
No, I was with Granny Rags.
Yeah, Granny
all
Rags. Granny I'm not going to mess with this.
Spooky. Granny Rags.
Listen, the outsider wasn't down with her, and so
Granny Rags treated me right the entire game.
Yeah,
she gave me all those charms. I was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and then I had no use for her anymore.
Yeah, I think the first time I played through, I killed Granny Rags, and the second time I killed Slackjaw. And I felt bad about killing Slackjaw.
But he's not great. He's just some scummy crime boss.
No one's good in this game.
I remember reading about this game before it came out, and in the previews they talked about Granny Rags. But I remember they always made it seem like, oh, like you'll meet all these different characters. But she's really the only... I mean, Slackjaw, I guess, is another one. But you don't meet too many other NPCs that...
Well, so there's like
have
Doubt.
A story.
There's Doubt,
outside of
too.
The village, or the
he's
place.
The...
He becomes like a mini-boss.
Yeah,
he's
but like
assassin.
He's, you know... a real part of the story, like
right,
yeah.
There's only
I guess
two
what I mean
pieces
is more
like
side
yeah.
story, you know, side kind of content that's maybe a little optional.
Yeah,
like because do you have to talk to Granny Rags at all?
No,
because she's just in
you
like that house.
She's like
right?
in a house.
Yeah. You have to talk to her at the end because you need the key. That's how when you.
I
have
guess
to
I wonder what happens if you don't talk to her in the first couple levels.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think you just encounter her when she's trying to kill Slackjaw, or maybe there's another forced encounter with
for
her.
You to, yeah, I don't know.
So,
I guess what I mean is I wish there were more characters like that, you know, to add a little more variety.
Absolutely.
From a side story perspective.
But yeah, so there's a whole bunch in your hub, like the tavern that you meet, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, outside of that, you just meet Slackjaw and Granny Rags. There's nothing else really. There's a whole lot of enemies that get fleshed out a little bit, but nobody's really super memorable.
Yeah.
There are like I feel like there's like a scientist or a researcher at some point that
yeah, there's
I think
a
he's
second...
dead, but you or I forget if he's alive or dead.
Well so I think what is it, Piero and the other guy, they're supposed to be like
Sokolov.
They're supposed to be like Bell and
Edison.
Yeah.
Or Tesla and
Tesla and Edison. So I it's been a little while, but at the end of the game I had them both on the same team. Like they were
right.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
how it always works?
I think Sokolov you yeah. have to the
at,
friend.
At the end it does.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you get the chance to like kill everyone in the
or you can stun them.
Or stun them.
Mm. Yeah. I stunned them all because I was doing pacifist.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the choices kind of make themselves.
Right.
In this kind of game.
I will say too, if you have a high chaos run, at the very end you get dropped off in a boat by Samuel, who's the boatman.
Yeah.
And if you have high chaos, he shoots a gun in the air and lets everybody know you're coming.
Yep. Yeah, I did read that.
That's pretty fucked up.
That kind of stuff is cool.
I do remember the first time I played this game, I was doing pure stealth pacifist role. And I got to that point and I was like having a little bit of trouble and I was kind of just wanted to finish the game. So I just tore through that tower and I was just like, I'm going to kill everybody. I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And still got the low chaos ending.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's the, also at the very end, if you do low chaos, everybody's just dead. So Lord Pendleton is sitting at the table and
they like kill each other, right?
Yeah. Havelock is drunk and he's poisoned himself and he's like, yeah, fucking kill me, guy. I'm dead. But if you do the high chaos run, he's like holding Emily by the throat with a knife on the edge of a rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to like save her and before he can kill her.
That's where there can be a split, right, in the ending, like if you save her or not.
Yeah. So you can save her or not save her, and then there's the good and the high chaos and low chaos ending.
Right.
So you get different endings. And the endings aren't really that different.
No.
It's just the same scene, but different things are happening in the scene.
Yeah. I remember looking them up on YouTube and being a little disappointed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The criticism of this game I read before this pod was that people were kind of like, the ending's not great. Like, it's just kind of it's anticlimactic.
The gameplay is great.
Yeah.
The gameplay is really great. The story is like here and there.
Yeah.
Have you played Dishonored 2?
Yeah.
Steve?
Yep. Played through it.
Yeah. Did you like Dishonored 2 as much as Dishonored 1?
Yes. I did like it as much as Dishonored 1. The thing that is bad about Dishonored 2 is that the writing isn't as good. So like
when you say writing, you mean like...
Like the voice act. The voice acting's fine, but like the dialogue is not very good. So there's some parts where you're just like, ugh, that's pretty clunky. But overall, the story, I wouldn't say it's like completely different than the first game.
Yeah.
But so the difference is you can play as Emily Caldwin and it's set years later. So you can pick Corvo or Emily. I picked Emily. She has similar powers, but they're different.
Yeah.
So instead of like blink, she has this thing called long reach or far reach or something like that. And she can kind of turn into like this weird smoke monster and has like this black arm that shoots out and it pulls her up to like something.
A grappling hook or something?
Weird.
It's just like her like, arm and yeah. It turns into like a smoke. And so like she can turn into like a shadow too and like crawl around on the ground. Hmm. And so it's a little dark for compared to Corvo's powers.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you play Death of the Outsider?
No, I haven't. That's on my list to do. That you play as Billy Lurk, who is Dowd's right-hand man or right-hand woman.
Okay.
And that game, I think I've heard that they take out a little bit of the high chaos, low chaos. Actually, they do away with that, and they encourage you to kind of just play as you want. And it's a little more optional. Like, there's like a bank heist you can do if you want.
Is that DLC or a whole other game?
It's
like it's Uncharted 4's
like
the...
it's like a... Yeah, the like a lost. Short release.
It's a DLC, yeah, but it's a complete right, game, yeah. Pretty right. much. And then standalone. Also, and that's for two, but for Dishonored...
Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Yeah, that kind of idea. But for Dishonored 1, there's all the DLC, so there's like the Knife of Dunwall,
yeah.
Where you play as Dowd, and then there's the Brigmore Witches.
Yeah.
The Brigmore Witches, which you also play as Dowd, and this story is kind of running concurrently to what's happening in...
It's like what he's during
doing
the game.
And those storylines set up Dishonored 2.
Oh.
Because cool. You encounter the villain in Dishonored 2.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
We need to get on to where this game goes on our endless list. So, gentlemen, what are your thoughts? I also think this is a very good game. It's one of my favorite games I've played in like the past 5 years, to be honest with you guys.
Really?
I just think the gameplay is really stellar.
Yeah.
I just wonder where it goes on our list, because I don't know if this is like necessarily a top 10 game. I think it's a better game than...
I don't think it's a...
I think it's a better game than Arkham Asylum, for example.
That's kind of... So are we going to just place it, or are we trying to walk up a list?
So it sounds like...
Where do you guys want to go?
Placing it between like Arkham Asylum at 17 and kind of the start of the top 10. Like,
right.
Think about that range.
Personally, I thought it just... ended up right above Arkham Asylum, and that was it. I'll be honest. I thought this was our new 17th best game. I think, you know, you've said the gameplay is good. I like the gameplay. I wish that there was a way... You know, I was talking before that I think the pacifist approach was simple, and I think that's because you've got, like, the sleeping darts, and then you've got the non-lethal takedown. But those were really your only ways to interact with people. And I wish that there was a way for this game to implement a like non-lethal face-to-face combat.
Yeah.
Like someone can't see you and you take them down without killing them.
Like you judo chop them.
Yeah, right.
Unless you do a
And it would have been cool, like, you know, the easy way to do it is just make you attack unarmed, but it would have been cool if there was a way to, in
but,
a more
but
complex manner.
But you can also
manner.
Do things like possess somebody and walk them out of an area and then hop out of
That's
them.
True. Yeah, just then, not even interact
And
with
then
them.
Not interact with them.
Yeah.
And then usually when you possess somebody, they like freak out and start puking everywhere and you can run away.
I just thought this game, like, it didn't really do anything new for me in a stealth approach to, you know, an action-adventure game. Like, it's, you know, I feel like...
Maybe that's... Is that a criticism of stealth games?
Maybe, but I don't think it did anything new. You know, like, you start with thief games, like, you go through any stealth game up until now, and they've not really done anything different.
I just think the addition of the powers with the combination with that and the story of it and the lore that's behind it and how well... I think that the...
I think the world building is awesome.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. The design of... So, okay, I have a criticism of this game is that the first level of this game is not designed very good. doesn't teach you anything.
What is the...
It, when you are walking through the alleyway and there's the city, I don't think that's designed well at all. Like,
and you can branch off into the like gang area.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. So I think that, like, when I think of really good designed games, I think of like Super Mario Brothers, because it teaches you at a basic level. You walk through, you see these icons, and they're flashing, and you're like, oh, maybe if I jump up on them, and it walks you through the gameplay, yeah, how to play the game, mm-hmm, and it introduces you to one Goomba, and it's like, he's just walking, so how do you get around this? It teaches you that. And it doesn't tell you, there's no words on the screen that tell you a tutorial, it just tells you in the gameplay how to play the game. This game, in the first area, does none of that. In the prison area, it doesn't do that. In the there's some like tutorial that pops up and says this is what you need to do, but the way the world is designed is not very good. Mm-hmm. Well, in the first level,
I was gonna say, I feel like you're actually talking about not the first level though, because the first level is the prison. The prison when you're trying to escape.
But it doesn't do that in the prison.
But it does a little bit. It has you
pick up,
like,
the sword.
You pick up the sword. There's, yeah, a couple of guys in the room. You learn how to like crouch, peek around corners to do the, right, stealth. You learn to eavesdrop on,
which
people.
I never used any of the peek around corners.
Oh, I did that all the time. You could look through the keyholes and stuff.
I would look through the walls because that's the power that I, yeah, got in like the first, yeah, 10 minutes.
And that, by the way, the look through the walls power is not completely overpowered. Like, I remember when we were talking about Arkham and you were like, you have a wall.
I hate detective mode. Yeah. Yeah.
This, and I'm trying to remember because I played Dishonored 2 more recently, but it has like a pulse, so it's not a constant.
Oh, in this it's constant.
Yeah,
in
this it's constant, yeah. Okay. And you can also see their cone of vision.
Yeah. You can see the cone of vision. In Dishonored 2.
Too easy.
In Dishonored 2, and I thought this was the same for the first game, there's a pulse.
So it's like a timing.
It's like echolocation.
It's like a radar.
Yeah.
So that's a smarter way to do it.
You're like walking and you just like, boosh, and then you see the three guys and then they fade.
No, it's,
and then you walk a little bit more and they're in a different spot.
It's like detective vision. You just hit a button and it goes on, and it stays on for like way too long.
Right. Yeah.
It should stay on for like 5 seconds. It stays on for like 20.
I never used all my mana. I don't know what it's called in this game, but I felt like...
Well, because it automatically recharges.
You can use a vial of whatever that solution is or whatever. Yeah. But
if you keep using it, if you abuse it, then you...
My point is they didn't add enough of a cost to the wall hack that you had to use it sparingly. I just used it all the time.
Yep.
And it became a point where I was like, I don't want... Like, it's ruining the aesthetic of the game to see all these yellow glowing guys. You know, I'm just going to turn it off just because
Arkham Asylum problem.
It's the same problem.
Yes. Yeah, I remember you saying that.
But I will say, so the first area I didn't like because I didn't think it was designed very well. But after that, because I was playing this and I was like, wow, some of these levels are really designed really well. Like, the brothel level was...
The brothel level's my favorite
level. It was really good. It had walkways and different levels where you could go and do many different things.
And it looked... They do a really good job of making the spaces look real.
And like, making all the aesthetic matches, too. It's, like, very aesthetic. It's all coherent.
But there's, like, tiny details where, like, for instance, they'll put keys on key rings or, like, posts, like, where you'd be hanging up keys.
Right.
And, like, the rooms all have, like, a purpose. Like, this is clearly, like, a bathroom, or this is clearly, you know, where the servants
question about where the poop goes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Put it at the bottom of the list.
Like, all the houses make sense, and, like, all the buildings you go into make sense. And
they don't waste space.
Right. Really. But all the space that's there has a reason for being there outside of you playing a video game and going to the building to kill people.
I do like how even in, like, the first area, there are tunnels underneath that you don't access until later on in the game. So, like, everything is designed... I think pretty well in terms of, like...
Yeah, it's designed for you to take multiple paths and discover things that you didn't just know about in the first play.
But it's dense enough and complex enough that it's good each time, because you go back to the same areas multiple times throughout the game, and you kind of, like, hit different portions of the map, but there's a familiarity that I think gets established in...
Yeah.
I will say, too, one of the
second level or whatever it is.
The first time I played through the game, I hated the bridge. And then the second time I played through, I was like, wow, this level's great. And I don't know why.
Yeah. I felt the exact same way. Yeah. I did not like that level the first time.
They dangle a lot of runes out there for you to solve puzzles.
Yeah, you go into a room and you're like, there's like a father and his child, and you get the whole story about how, oh, I lost my job, and then the overseers came, and now I'm like, the last of my money is in this safe. Thank you for saving me. Here's the combination. And then you go in there, and then there's like the bad guys who evicted him or something.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
There's also the, there's like, a a couple pieces where they're like, you have to follow these pictures, and then when you get to this last picture in this room, there will be a rune or something. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty good.
Some good puzzles in there.
I think the environmental storytelling, I think the world design, I think I really appreciate that the lore books are duplicated. Mm-hmm. That, like, there's not one copy of a book in the game.
Yeah.
That you see the same books, and so if you've missed it the first three times,
a history of whaling time, or something like that.
But it makes it feel real, because, like, obviously more than one person would have a copy of this book.
It feels like a really lived-in universe.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like this is a world that, independent of me, would just keep on going. And
yeah. Right.
The one thing I'll say about that is that, as I mentioned, so there's Dunwall's an island, and then mm-hmm. there's, like, Cirkinos, and they mentioned some other areas, but there's, like, this whole world that you have no clue about, mm-hmm. and it really feels like they're setting up for sequels that they want to do more. Mm-hmm. But there should be, like, touch on at least there's a continent, and on the continent they do that a little bit, but it's like, why isn't there, like, a big giant nation somewhere, because they're just on an island.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions, but I think I appreciate the, like, building of the world bigger than the context of the game,
right?
Because in Dishonored 2, you go to
Cirkinos,
and I forget what the name of the city is there, but it's this kind of, like, Southern European version of Dunwall, which Dunwall looks like London or Edinburgh or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this feels totally different. Like, this feels like this tropical city.
Did you know this sort of game was originally supposed to be feudal Japan?
I did know that. Yeah,
so they changed it midstream, which is weird.
Midstream, because they realized that they had no knowledge of feudal Japan. Smart to change.
Yeah, it's a French developer, and they're like, "Yeah, maybe we should go with England. They're closer."
Yep. Well, and then making it fiction. I mean, I think it was actually supposed to be like real Japan, right? Not like a Japan influenced thing. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think making it fictional, like, makes the game that much better.
I agree. If this was London, this would be like the Assassin's Creed game where you're in London, and it's like,
it'd be a little boring.
Fine.
And I think they iterated on it. So there was originally supposed to be like feudal Japan, and then they wanted to do actual London, and then they made it into fictional Dunwall.
London-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I think the whole, like, you touched on the aesthetic, like, the whole game looks kind of like a painting. Like, I think,
you know what's funny? It kind of looks like Team Fortress 2.
Yeah,
it does. It does a little bit of cartoony.
I bet you that guy who did the visuals of this game worked on Team Fortress.
Valve, yeah.
Well, he worked,
I could be convinced.
He did Half-Life 2.
Oh, true.
So he probably did Team Fortress 2.
That makes total sense.
Yeah,
it's nice to look at.
Yeah, it is nice to look at.
And it's, like, different, you know, there are a lot of games of this ilk, and I think just the visual style being a little different,
and it has that,
really,
like,
separates it.
It's interesting because there's, like, modern in quotes technology that wouldn't have existed in, like, a fictional Victorian London or Edinburgh or something
that steampunk.
Yeah, which that steampunk,
like the walker guys at the end. But and it's like, funny, they're, like, exactly like a Half-Life 2 enemy.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's cool.
So, do we want to make this our new number 17 game? It sounds like. That's what we want to do.
Whoa, I
want to
put it higher than that. 17.
I mean,
good lord.
I think there's no question. Oh, sorry.
I would say you look at games like, I guess, legacy-wise, though, like Mortal Kombat, God of War. I don't know. I definitely missed out on the great re-rank, I guess, but
you'd move it further down?
I would, just because I feel like there are some further down that I think might be better games.
I think this is a better game than Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
I think it's
right.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the influence.
When we're comparing those two, I agree with you. It's same thing I think I brought up on the last one with Mega Man. I just had trouble getting it past Mega Man, but I agreed that we had it closer to Shadow of Colossus.
It definitely belongs in this tier.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Is what I would say.
It's top tier.
Should we move it down and then...
This is actually the second tier, I would say, or the third tier.
Yeah, I would say it's like the third tier.
Yeah.
Where are you breaking your tiers up?
You want to move it? You want to move it below Arkham Asylum? Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to move it below Arkham.
No, I don't want to either.
But I would. I would put it below Arkham Asylum and above Mortal Kombat.
No, it's better than Arkham Asylum.
I would put it above. If that's where we're starting the comparison, then I would do it above Arkham Asylum. But
so the problem is, like, Arkham Asylum kind of made the genre in the PS3 era that was copied by, like, so many different games.
And the combat, to me, specifically.
Yeah, and Dishonored added nothing?
Dishonored is itself a better game than Arkham Asylum is.
Agreed, completely.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. But it's also a game that came out 3 years after it. and maybe learned lessons from Arkham Asylum.
Potentially, but that doesn't mean it can't be higher.
No, I think it's but again. I think it's a better game. I would put it, if anything, I would put it at number 17 or number 18.
If I can't talk you up above 17, then I'm fine with 17.
I certainly don't see this.
No offense to some people sitting in this room.
I think it's hard.
I see WWF No Mercy sitting there, and I'm like, really? We're putting it lower than that?
I see no way it passes Hotline Miami.
Hotline Miami is kind of a sticking point for me, too.
Yeah, like, I think that, like, yeah. So...
Well, like, Castlevania is, like...
In Castlevania, too, yeah.
I agree, though. I think Castlevania is above Dishonored. Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, it's Castlevania. That's why I didn't want to start the discussion here, because that's where I thought it was going to end up, so...
Well, I do appreciate that we started talking about it, and then we had a whole aside where we talked about the game again before we got back to the ranking.
Yeah.
So you know what? That's enough for me. I'll take 17.
Let's put it at number 17. Can we all like...
Just to your point about Mortal Kombat, I think Mortal Kombat 1 is actually a bad game.
All right.
And I think it's legacy.
He's our fighting game correspondent.
That's fair.
I think the legacy is pretty much all that's keeping Mortal Kombat 1.
But that's my tripping point, is the legacy aspect of it. Comparing it that way, I guess. But I'm willing to agree.
Let's put Dishonored at 17. I think it's a good part of space for it.
I mean, it should be honored to be mentioned.
You have dishonored. Dishonored with this ranking. Just kidding.
Nice.
I think Dishonored's a good game. I'll just say it.
I enjoyed
playing it.
I had a lot of fun.
I don't know if I'll ever play Dishonored 2, but...
I might.
I think I have it.
After I played 1, I was like, I kind of want
to
play it.
I would say before you get to Dishonored 2, play the expansions for 1.
I'm more compelled to play the DLC.
Brigmore Witches is great. Knife of Dunwall is kind of a setup for Brigmore Witches, but they're great.
There's what?
So we should play that in that order?
Is it just 2?
There's another one called like Dunwall City Trials, but that's just like, hey, here's an area, see if you can get the high score.
Okay. That's kind of cool, though.
It's cool, yeah. It's not bad.
All right.
Steam wish list.
Yeah.
New number 17 would be Dishonored. Congratulations, Dishonored. You are between Castlevania and Batman Arkham Asylum on our endless list, which is now comprised of 46 games.
It's a respectable place to be, I think.
I think it's a pretty good place.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Could be better, but I
would be honored.
I would be honored, not dishonored.
I would be dishonored.
If Corvo Otano comes to have words with you later, you'll know why.
Well, thank you.
Corvo's dead.
No, he's not.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Encore.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Encore.
And we'll be back next week. You can follow us or subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com is the email for your questions, comments, concerns. You want to make a case for why Dishonored should be lower than this or higher? You can send us an email. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com. Please send us all your hate mail. We want it.
Expect an email from me.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys. We'll be back next week with another episode. It will be quite the game. Magic the Gathering 1997. The collectible card game. We're announcing it here. So wait for that one next week. It's coming. Thanks, guys.